Welcome to the Perfectly Saint Show, episode 470. I think it's 470. I am Chris. Tony is not with us, but Earl is.
So disappointed because, as always, Tony is not here.
Tony is not here. Jeff is here now as well.
I think so. Yeah.
Hi, I think so.
We're in like an existential crisis. I'm not
sure. I literally got back right as you said that. So yeah. So.
Yeah. No, I saw your thing hit. Yeah. So it's just the three of us this week. We are recording late, so we're gonna jump right into some stuff we've been playing. There's also some little bit of news to kind of cover as well.
Well, that's what to say. You say a little bit of news, but it's the big one, the one people are waiting for.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Those cartoons. That's sort of a good way.
Okay, I know we want to jump into what we've been playing, but I think we have to start off with this. Partially because I want to talk about how it failed, but Sony did drop some specs and details on the PlayStation 5.
They did, yes.
And I feel like Sony just doesn't care anymore, because we discussed this last week. We had a state of play like 2 weeks ago, and they do the state of play, and then they're like, you know what, we're going to reveal the PlayStation 5 in a press release.
It's a weird thing going on over there.
Think you couldn't have put some of these details in that state of play?
Yeah, literally a video designed to bring information to your fans.
I didn't watch the video, and I heard nothing. Like, I knew there's a PlayStation 5. That's it.
No. There was no video for the PlayStation 5, as far as I know.
It's just a like a press release, and Wired had like an interview with Cerny and somebody else from Sony.
Yeah, what we're saying is that 2 weeks ago, they had their Not Nintendo Direct.
No, I know. And, yeah, I know all that.
Yeah, but instead of like doing something with that, like even like the release date, which is holiday 2020, you could have put that at the end or something like that instead of being like, oh, what is the least exciting way we could reveal a console's details? Let's put it on a website.
Anything I saw though was just like it was just like, but better. All right, I know. I'm gonna buy it, or you know, buy not that one, but I'll buy the Xbox. And it's like, I know, yeah, it's gonna be faster, better, great. I don't know. I don't feel like there was anything like if there was something interesting to be said about the PlayStation 5, I felt like I would have saw it and didn't see anything. And I'm not like I can't get excited about new systems anymore. It's just like, it'll be minor improvements, and you know, it's gonna look slightly better. You know?
Here's the thing, and this is what drives me nuts about it. I think they came up with specs and they came up with details, and for 95% of your consumers, that is junk. Like, honestly, the big takeaway for most people is that the PlayStation 5 exists, which we've known about, and it's coming out holiday 2020, so it's about a year away. Everything else is just for people on forums and Twitter to argue about and debate.
Yep.
But they could have alleviated some of that by having any type of demo. A tech demo, an actual game demo, something to show what this actually means. Because I've said it before on this show. I hear people talk about it. I hear people, rave about it. I honestly still can't tell you what ray tracing is. Or them saying that the PlayStation 5 controller will have haptic feedback. It's like, okay, that sounds like something nifty. I mean, I know what haptic feedback is because I have a Switch.
But I was just saying, doesn't the Joy-Con have that in it? Like, wow. Yeah. The feature that I turn off right away on every system. I truly turn off the Rumble on every system, like system wide. I just don't want it because it eats up the battery, you know.
Well, even more than that, I mean, again, like it's built into the Switch, and I mean, if anybody's gonna like really kind of test the pace of a,
you would do it with the Joy-Cons.
It would be Nintendo, and Nintendo's like, we've done it twice. That's enough for us.
It's garbage.
We should have done it more times than that. But like, I know what 1-2 Switch, and I think Mario Party were the two big games that kind of used them in a meaningful way. Or at least in a way that they were a part of the game, not just like, oh, yeah, this is neat. I don't notice it after 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah.
And ray tracing, just to kind of lend this out, is it's a lighting technique that simulates actual, like, how light would actually work. Like, how light does actually work.
Oh, okay. I understand what it is. But it's like I know what HDR is, but you tell me what HDR is and you show me what HDR is. Two different things.
I couldn't, like, if you showed me a photo, I couldn't tell if like I had HDR turned on most times, probably. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
You need one of those side by sides, right? Like,
yeah. If I could see a side by side, I could be like, all right, that one shows, like, I could see the clouds. It's not just like a white fucking background. All right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just talking about, like, on my phone taking pictures, but like, if you showed me two video game pictures, I don't know if I'd know. I don't know. I'm not good at that shit. I'm not good at seeing frame rate either. Like, I could see a huge frame rate dip, but I couldn't tell you, like, if it's running at 30 or 60 just by looking at it. Like, I just can't. I don't know. Like, I guess I'm not inclined that way. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, most people probably can't. Like, they're not going to be able to tell the perceptible difference between,
like
50 and 60.
Like, a game
as long rate, as it stays strong at 50, they're not going to notice a difference.
Like, if a game is running great at 30 frames per second, I wouldn't know it's 30 frames or 60 frames. I'm just like, it looks good. It runs fine, right. You know?
I think for most people, it's more consistency than it is. Yep. If it's 30 or
that's 60. That's how it is. Yeah, I can't distinguish.
Oddly enough, the only time I really notice it is not in video games, but it's in movies. I mean, I guess granted, because there's very few movies that are actually anything other than 24. Yeah. But like when they did that, what, The Hobbit in 48?
Yep. That Billy Lynn movie, the Ang Lee movie, like something
Gemini really, Man.
Like the movie he did before Gemini Man, it was like The Long Walk of Billy Lynn or something. It was like this stupid, like, Iraq war type movie. Like, I don't know. It wasn't good, but it looked weird because it was shot at that frame rate.
Right. And and he filmed Gemini Man at 120 frames a second.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. And it's like, it just looks weird. It, like, almost just looks like it was shot on video or something. Like, it's unsettling. And it's like watching a TV with the
motion smoothing off.
Turn on. Yeah, like it's fucking weird, dude.
The first thing you shut off.
It looks bad. Yeah. Anyways, where were we going with any of this?
We were going with the fact that for most people, a lot of this tech stuff is
it's lost on me, and I'm like, you know, I feel like I'm pretty plugged in. Like, I play video games, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, great. Ray tracing. Cool, dude. Give me cool games.
Yes. And I think what Earl was saying, right, is that, like, they should have shown
one
something.
Game to show off with it. Yeah.
Like, you don't even need to show off something new, but, like, show us why this is cool. Show us why ray tracing means something. Show us why the haptic feedback stuff means something. I guess that's hard to show in a video, but
but I mean, and you know, I hate to compare it, but it was the most recent console reveal. You get what when you think about it, the Switch reveal was what, a 2.5 minute trailer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it showed you some games and it showed you the core selling point of the system. I mean, granted, the core selling point of the system is something that's very visual and that you can take it out of the dock and it becomes a portable,
right?
But it also has that tease for Mario. Like, it had a half set of Mario,
exactly. And it had some other games in it too. I think Zelda was in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something like that where it's like, oh, this is what I'm getting. Where this is like, this is what the second time we've heard about the PlayStation 5 this year, because they announced it earlier this year. And it seems like Sony is going about it in the most, oh, we don't care, you're going to buy it anyhow method.
Yes, very much that.
And it's weird. I mean, I forget who it was. I want to say it was GameIndustry.biz who wrote an article this week called something like, as the industry looks to Sony for answers, Microsoft is the one giving it to them. Because Sony is the market leader and they don't seem to be acting that way. They just,
I mean, they're resting on their laurels. You know, maybe that's what they, you know, what the leader does. Like, everything's fine. We don't have to do shit.
You would think that they would have learned to not
do that.
Do that after, because like,
they did that with PlayStation 3.
Right, with the 3. Yeah. Like they know, like, Microsoft's been coming hard. Like, they haven't gained market share back, but they have gained a lot of, like, gamer goodwill over the last couple years. Like, you know, if they have a good reveal, like, obviously people are not tied to just buying Sony. Like, you know, they early on with the 360, people, you know, that were Sony fans jumped ship, and then they jump ship back to the PS4 this gen. But like, it's not necessarily, like, these systems aren't Nintendo systems.
Yeah,
like, Nintendo has a fierce loyalty, you know, based off of their properties alone. Whereas I mean, Sony has some of that with their stuff, but I don't think it's anywhere near the same level. And it's very clear that if, you know, Microsoft has a good reveal and, you know, they have good games that, you know, hey, maybe you can play them on the PS4, but, you know, Microsoft seems the more consumer friendly this time around. There's a chance that people are going to jump ship back to them. Like,
I mean, it's easy to forget that, like, 360, like, that dominated that generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Always. And that brand is not entirely lost. Like, one, I gravitate to the Xbox just because I like it more, but, like, a lot of people I know in real life, they own Xboxes. Like, they don't own PS4s. I know that's, like, just anecdotal, but I'm just saying, like, my brother-in-law, my friend who lives down the street, they both have, like, Xboxes. Like, they don't give a shit about the interesting games that PS4 is doing. Like, they like the Xbox environment, you know?
Well, I think the thing that we have to also keep in mind when we discuss PlayStation and Xbox especially is that the Xbox is predominantly popular in North America.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, for us, it's much more antidotal that you'll find people who have an Xbox. It's the rest of the world where it won't be the case. But yeah, for a lot of people here, the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox, I mean, I think PlayStation 4 is still ahead, but it's not like comparable to where it is worldwide. And
right.
It's still a clear market leader here, I'm sure, but it's just like, I don't think you'd write off the Xbox. Like, I think it, like, the Xbox still holds on to some of that, like, cachet it had from the 360 era. Like, it does. Like,
yeah.
People remember Xbox Live as being the fucking shit.
And now they're doing smart things with, like, Game Pass. And
yeah, like, and you do that, you carry that to the next gen, and then you have, like, the new Halo, and it's hopefully good, and maybe you have, like, a fucking new RPG from Obsidian. You know what I mean? Like, you have more interesting software, and you do that Game Pass type shit, and, like, why wouldn't you get an Xbox, I think? I know we sound Xbox fanboys and shit, but, like, I'm just getting my honest opinion on it, honestly. Like, that's just how I feel about it.
And I think the one strength, or the one big weakness that Sony has never really addressed is they're not a multiplayer company. Like, if you want online multiplayer games, you go Xbox. If you want local multiplayer games, you go Nintendo. Sony is more of a single player, and that's perfectly fine. But there is a mentality in, like, oh, I want to play games with my friends, which is part of the reason why the Xbox brand has persisted. It's because stuff like Halo and Gears are big, big multiplayer franchises that are exclusive to those consoles.
Like, Sony still has no real answer to that. Like,
And you don't necessarily need an answer to that.
No,
Nintendo gets away with Mario Kart and Smash Brothers, and it's like, what is Sony's like multiplayer identity?
And they had the Uncharted in multiplayer, but that's like not.
It's weird. It's weird, quirky stuff, right? Like it's.
There's nothing. Yeah, I'm trying to think like what would be the big online multiplayer Sony game. I have no idea.
Like, I mean, in theory, it would be Gran Turismo. But that is such a hard.
That's so niche. That's super niche.
It's niche, and it's not because it sells well, but it sells to a particular audience where it's not accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
Where I'm sure you all know people who play Mario Party or Mario Kart who aren't like what you consider quote unquote hardcore gamers.
Exactly.
And the same thing with people who play Halo and Gears, or something of that sort. I think Uncharted was something they tried. I think Fat Princess was probably the closest thing they had, even though that was like that was its own little thing. But you look at something like The Last of Us 2, which I didn't care for it, but they dropped the multiplayer for that, and it's like it was a part of the game that people enjoyed, I hear.
Yeah, I remember a lot of people having a lot of good things to say about the multiplayer in The Last of Us.
And then it's not coming back for part two, so...
That's crazy.
And then Days, nothing in Days Gone or Guard of War or Until Dawn, so...
Yeah. So, I don't know. This PlayStation stuff is... It's a weird way to approach everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's a big deal one way or the other, and I love like all of it, but I loved pontificating about the two systems though for the last half hour pretty much.
No, I mean and to your point, by the time next year rolls around, most people won't care how it was revealed.
Yeah, there's gonna be cool shit.
But this is what we have today. This is what we have now to discuss. So yeah, I mean, it's like we've said last week, and like you said, I don't want to sound like an Xbox or Nintendo diehard, but it has been a weird year for Sony because for like 90% of it, they've been radio silent, and a few times they've broken that silence. It's like they don't know what they want to say or how to say it, because again, I'm just thinking of you're starting this new initiative with State of Play. You're also looking to, give people details on your new system next year. And at no point did those two things cross your mind to combine. Like, imagine if they teased out the PS5 throughout the year on, like, State of Play with, like... And that, so then State of Play becomes a must-see, a must-watch thing. Yeah.
Not this time around, so...
No, so...
All right, let's just bang out the rest of this news here. Guess everyone's angry at Blizzard.
As they should be.
Yeah, I'm not defending them. Just saying everybody is angry at Blizzard.
I mean, to kind of give a bit of a backstory, I guess, before we actually get to that. I mean, it's partially Blizzard, but I think it's also just a lot of people frustrated with the news of the week, because this is also something that's kind of permeated with the NBA as well.
Yes.
Where, and I think that's where it started, and then the Blizzard thing happened, which just kind of snowballed from a bigger cultural and political discussion. So it was just really bad timing on their part.
So... I didn't do my homework. I somehow missed this. I saw people mad. What did Blizzard do?
They banned a pro Overwatch player?
Hearthstone.
No, Hearthstone player.
What? Because... There's pro Hearthstone?
Yeah.
No, at this point, just assume there's a pro everything.
Yeah.
because he came out in support of Hong Kong, of the Hong Kong protests.
Oh, of the police or the protests?
The protests.
Of the protests. Very much.
Oh, they banned him.
Free Hong Kong.
Blizzard banned him.
Yes.
Because he was in support of the protests.
Yes, what? And not
because
they're like kowtowing to the Chinese government, probably.
Exactly.
Okay. Which in some cases makes a hell of a lot of sense because they're 25% owned by a Chinese multinational corporation. Okay. So, Activision Blizzard has Tencent owns a 25% stake in Activision Blizzard.
And not only did they ban him, but they also, if I remember correctly, took away his winnings.
Yeah, they took away his prize money that he had just won at that tournament, banned him for a year, and also fired the two casters. Yeah,
yeah,
that were interviewing him at the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, the bad guys get to do whatever they want. It seems like sometimes. I don't know. That's fucked, dude. I did not know any of that story until just now.
It is. It is totally fucked. I think some of the, like, maybe it's just the circles we kind of like travel in, but I also caught that Disney kind of banned any talk about the Hong Kong stuff on ESPN. Most likely in regards to the NBA stuff, like if they are commentating on any of that, they're not to bring that up, but nobody's gonna fight at Disney, so
it's crazy. No, like I said, it's a terrible thing that Activision did, and I think it would have caught them, given them heat no matter what.
Yes.
But because of the NBA stuff, it got them a lot more heat because most of people's attention was on that issue. Again, because the protests have been going on for months now.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel that I'm seeing a lot of things on Reddit and other forums, like where people are like canceling their Overwatch pre-order for Switch or their Call of Duty pre-order.
Now, did I see that correctly? That the actual like members of the staff walked out yesterday as well.
Blizzard
of Activision Blizzard. Yeah.
I heard something about that. I did not read too far into that though. That sounds about right, though. But
yeah, and then some of the procasters also stepped down, and yeah, it's just been a shit show all week.
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse, like
there's no real way to back down because nobody wants to offend the Chinese. Even if you are own 25% of them, they do make up a huge percentage of the worldwide gross these days.
Yep.
Yeah, that's that too. Games. Yeah. It's like just profit from them consuming it too, you know?
Right.
Yeah, because what we do in this country is like you say something, you'll have a quote unquote boycott that doesn't do anything. If you offend the Chinese, they will literally ban you. Which I think is what happened with the NBA. Yeah. It's like the NBA can't, like, they banned the NBA from drawing games right now. I don't know how long that will last, but that is currently their punishment.
And the other thing with China is that it's hard to get in to their market to begin with. So you certainly don't want to offend them and get knocked to the back of the line. If you're a company, I'm not saying that you shouldn't offend them and do what's right, but as a company that is trying to make money, like, you're right. Companies don't have morals, Jeff. That's, although what was that? They are people, right? Companies are people.
Yeah. They yes, have they all are. The benefits of being a person and none of the downsides of being a person, basically.
So. Yeah. So there's that. Gamers' attention span is all of about 5.5 minutes. So I totally envision people that are saying they're boycotting. They'll be playing Call of Duty in 2 weeks.
I ain't saying shit. I'll be buying Call of Duty. But still, fuck
which
them.
Fine. It's like, bad. If you want to,
yeah, I agree.
I mean, well, I'm going to talk about one of their games like in a little bit. But
I was like, I was like, I should look into boycotting them, and then I'm like, I don't actually play Overwatch, but I already own it, and I don't give them more money for it. I don't buy Call of Duty. Then I'm like, what else do they make?
Bring back Tony Hawk, you cowards.
Bring back Tony Hawk to boycott it.
No, I will fucking play the shit out of it.
Jeff is not boycotting. He's just like, bring it back. He wants to play.
Even like Tony Hawk 5 was bad, but I played it. Like, I played a decent amount of it.
Jeff is a corporation. He has no morals.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like, I just, dude, you'll find something to be mad about every company. So, like, I can't not consume shit, but it doesn't mean I can't say it's bad or whatever. Like,
no, and I'm not opposed to people boycotting. Like, if, you know, that's what they feel they need to do.
No, yeah. I love putting pressure on companies politically. Like, awesome. Go for it. I just, you know, I have to choose my battles a little bit. And
I don't think I'll buy the game. I don't have anything on the docket to buy from Activision, so I'm good.
I mean, to me, the only thing would be Call of Duty, and I'll probably just get it just because I'm on vacation that week, you know, just because.
I plan on renting Call of Duty, and I don't think that money won't be going to them. So
I mean, it's still ghosted, I imagine.
Well, I mean, Redbox has already purchased those games, though, so. I mean, maybe there's some residual contracting with it, but I am giving my money to Redbox. What they do with it, they've already given money to Activision,
right?
But also, I'm not making a moral stand here. I think it is bad what is going on over there. In this case, I'm not making a political statement.
Okay, Joker.
Yeah. Ah, good one. I like that.
then there's Ubisoft cartoons.
Ubisoft cartoons from the good old days where we got RoboCop and
like Saturday morning cartoons.
I forgot about the RoboCop cartoon.
There's a RoboCop and a Rambo cartoon. So
I think I saw that.
I don't think I ever saw the Rambo cartoon.
I don't think I've ever seen them, but I know they existed.
Definitely saw the RoboCop one.
All right, quick aside, what was like your big Saturday morning cartoon? I have a really boring one, but go ahead. Anyway, chime in.
I think anybody who knows me knows what my Saturday morning cartoon was. I still watch it and still talk about it to this day. So
I don't know. Say it.
It's Batman. It's the Batman. It's the Marvel and DC animated shows from the 90s. Batman.
Were they on Saturday?
Batman was on Saturdays. Batman, the animated series was a weekday. It was Monday through Friday.
It was weekdays, but it aired Saturdays too.
Okay.
And then when they switched over to like the New Adventures of Batman. But yeah, it was that. I grew up on, I forget the name of it. NBC used to have a block. So it was like WizKid, Camp Candy. Crap, what was the other one? Pro Stars.
You gotta be younger than me. Like I don't know any of this stuff.
My Saturday morning cartoons were the Smurfs and the Snorks.
Okay, you folks are a bit older than I am.
Okay, my favorite one, this is gonna sound so lame, Garfield. Like, I love Garfield. Garfield, and then they would have like the fucking farm animal friends or whatever the fuck they were called.
Garfield and Friends.
You know, like they do little like side episode shit. See, I don't know. I was into it, dude.
Garfield was a weekday morning show for me. So I don't know if those were like reruns of that show or not.
They did Saturday morning of Garfield, absolutely.
Oh no, I'm sure they did, but I'm saying like when I was like it
you
would be
better
like,
got them as afternoon or more. Oh no, like, the weekday morning shows.
Yeah, like the shows that aired from like 6 to 8 in the morning that you watched while you were getting dressed to go to school. Because yeah, that's how I got into stuff. Well, I didn't get into, but stuff like Rowan Warriors, the original Dragon Ball used to air that way, Sailor Moon. I think the Pokemon actually, I think Pokemon started airing at like 6:30 in the morning when it first started airing. And then it was really popular. I mean, the franchise has only been around for 20 some odd years now. So they moved it to like later on in the day so you can actually watch it after the fact. But yeah, stuff like that. It was like Heathcliff. Later on when I got to Cartoon Network stuff, Top Cat. What was the other? Heathcliff and Garfield and Friends. I always get those two confused. Later on, stuff like Pepper Ann, Recess, The Weekenders.
I mean, I was huge into He-Man, which I think was Saturday. Am I wrong about that?
When I watched He-Man, it was on like adjacent to Transformers. And they were on in the afternoon.
Like weekdays or whatever?
Yeah, weekdays.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that is right. Maybe He-Man was daily. I was like 5 years old.
Also varies because sometimes you would have a show that would air 5 days a week and then they would have like one episode rerun Saturday morning. Like it's not like now where it's like a hard and fast rule where like you're this or that. It's like, because like it's like Batman the Animated Series, or I guess the other example is Power Rangers. Power Rangers aired after school, and then they would have episodes on the weekend, like the big season premieres and stuff like that would be like a weekend.
Big episodes, yeah.
Yeah. And then some shows would do that where it's like, because yeah, if you like, I always like seeing old animated series and seeing the season breakdown, because like season one would be like 100 episodes, season two is 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, because they would just kind of, you know, do it, air them on, and like, oh, get ready for all new episodes, and they air like one a week on the Saturday or something like that.
Another fun, like this is like kind of like this is like another aside, semi-related, but I remember one of my favorite shows as a kid was the Super Mario Brothers like Super Show or whatever the fuck it was called
that used to come around with WizKid, and
yeah, but that was like. That would be like in the afternoons, I think. Like, you know, it would be like at like 4 o'clock or something. And yeah, that was, and it would be a half hour show. But on Fridays, it was Legend of Zelda. And I don't know, dude. Like, I looked forward to those Legend of Zelda. Like, when you watch that shit now, it's terrible. But, you know, at the time, it was like you were just mesmerized by anything like that. And, like, just having that like difference where it was like on Friday it's Legend of Zelda, it felt like special. Like it was awesome, dude.
Here's the good and bad things about cartoons from the 80s and 90s is they made cartoons about anything back then, and that was both a good and bad, because it meant like you had a variety of like, I will say I don't watch a ton of them now, but cartoons now are better. They tend to tell a more serialized story. They tend to animate better. They tend to be, you know, seriously voice acted and stuff like that. They tend to actually have consistency. Like, you go back to watch a lot of those shows where characters would never, like, their color would change or it would be drawn weird and stuff like that. But back then, you made a show about anything. Like I said, like you said, I mean, yeah, well, like, Ubisoft is announcing these 4 cartoons. But we had Mario, Sonic, Pokemon, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, Double Dragon, Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, like all these, and like, it's like, what story are you making an like, animated series about? But they're doing it. And Sonic. Then you get stuff like, you know, like he's, you got stuff like Rambo and RoboCop. You got there's the Tales of the Crypt Keeper.
Ghostbusters.
Well, Ghostbusters was a kid's franchise. That made sense. But I'm talking about the things that like R-rated movies being turned into like Saturday morning cartoons for kids. Who could like? I mean, like I like it. And
it's Toxic, not, Avenger.
Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing. It's not like super adult, but they made like there was a James Bond Jr. animated series. James Bond is not something you show kids.
Speak for yourself.
I can't speak for myself because I was not allowed to watch James Bond because my aunt thought it would corrupt me. Neither did she know how right she was. Back to Ubisoft, who is doing a third season of the Rabbids Invasion. I think that's what it's called, animated series. Now, this is one of those modern cartoons. I think the episodes are like 11 minutes.
Okay.
And I think it's on Nick. Don't quote me on that. They're doing a Rayman show. I'm still always fascinated that Ubisoft was able to somehow divide those two into two separate entities now.
Rayman and the Rabbids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Rabbids are very much their own thing now.
And much more popular than Rayman. Poor Rayman. And then they're doing a Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Yeah. Captain Laserhawk. A Blood Dragon vibe is what it's going to be called.
Which I actually dig. I mean, because that went for an 80s aesthetic. So if you're going to make an animated series, I mean, why not go for the 80s vibe?
But, yeah, the poster art for it is 80s as fuck, man. It looks amazing.
Yeah, so, and then what's the last one? The last one is Far Cry?
Far Cry would be the Captain Laserhawk Blood Dragon. Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs. Which, I mean, honestly speaking, I could see Watch Dogs being a live action TV show. More than a cartoon?
Yeah.
But I'm not Ubisoft.
Okay. All right. So here it is. For slightly older viewers, Ubisoft is toning down its M-rated Watch Dogs action adventure franchise for a tamer cyber mystery aimed at tweens.
So stupid.
The show centers on a teenage super hacker who solves crimes in high school.
Some corporate ass bullshit fucking about how corporations are bad.
Basically, like, it's Batgirl. But she doesn't have a mask.
I don't watch any, like, are there like other like TV shows about video games? Because I've never watched anything like that.
Castlevania.
Any of them?
I did watch an episode of Castlevania. I was like, it's fine, but like, it didn't draw me in.
Do you mean currently, Aaron, or of all?
No, time? Just in general. Like Castlevania, that was a good example that I'd forgotten of.
Okay, I mean, Pokemon's existed forever.
I mean, that doesn't count.
Digimon,
is that good?
But Pokemon,
I'm just fucking.
I mean, honestly, Castlevania is far and away the best one. The one I actually enjoy that I don't think gets enough of, I think partly because the games weren't that great, is Sonic Boom.
Hell yeah, Sonic.
Just because like, Sonic. It's more of a comedy, and it's like the jokes really end, it's very clever you're in at times. I think that's about it really. Like I've seen a few of them, and I will be honest, I started and stopped this project several times. I have a fond spot for anything video game related outside of video games because it usually sucks. But I've always wanted to write more about video game cartoons because there are so many of them. I don't know if you folks know or not. I do mention it often. Like one of my Christmas traditions is watching Christmas Comes to Pac-Man. Which is a 80s Christmas special with the Pac-Man animated series, which I think most people forget exists.
Yeah, I do remember the Pac-Man series.
And not, but like I know the Pac-Man series exists, but it was part of a whole bundle. So there's like a Donkey Kong cartoon as well.
I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw that.
Yeah, there's Donkey Kong, and then there's like a Donkey Kong Country series as well, which is really bad 90s CG. There is Pole Position, which I know more of as a cartoon than I know as an actual video game.
I mean,
and it has.
Are there I assume there's characters in this cartoon that you watched.
Yeah,
Pole Position as a game has no characters.
Yes, I mean, it's like taking Captain Falcon and turning him into a fighter for Smash Bros. It's just like, yeah, it exists, but okay. But yeah, it's like, because yeah, Pole Position is like an NES racer, which is just the cars, and they turned that into like it's kind of like an American Speed Racer kind. Not like the whole Racer X thing, but.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, Beautiful Joe had a cartoon series. What else has had one? Tech and the Power Juju had an animated series. I don't even know if people remember that game existed.
No.
Yeah, so there's a few of them. They pop up every so often. You know, the most popular one is Sonic. Sonic is on his fifth or sixth series now. Pac-Man has had... And then I think it would be Pac-Man, then maybe Mario. And again, this is not if we don't count Pokemon, which has been going on for 20 some odd years.
Right, right. Yeah, there was a Zelda cartoon too, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's part of where that started with. Yeah. With Jeff watched that once. So I don't know how he didn't watch any cartoons. When he literally talked about his Zelda.
Yeah, Jeff.
What?
All right. Well, I don't know. I'll give them a shot when they come out. I didn't remember hearing. I didn't see in that article where they're going to air at.
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, at this point, I would imagine some streaming service that Ubisoft is going to start up because. Never knows we don't have enough streaming services.
That's fair. We only need like, you know, 15 more. All right. Well, I think that's it for news.
One more piece of news, yep. I think. I mean, not huge news, but Doom Eternal is delayed until March next year.
Yes.
All right. I have one thing to say about this. Big thing.
Yeah.
Big point. Why is Doom 64 also delayed until March of next year? Like,
it's a pre-order bonus, Jeff.
I guess that's like the only reason that it makes sense because, like,
but it wasn't a pre-order bonus before.
Yeah, like, and like, this could have been like their offering to like not make you sad about it.
I'm not sad about it.
I'm sad about it, and I was more excited about Doom 64, and so I'm like. Why are you delaying that?
That's fair.
Like, it's a straight port, basically. Like, you know, like, what the fuck?
Is it a straight port?
Basically, yeah. I mean, you know, it was just going to be Doom 64 on fucking the Xbox or whatever, you know? It wasn't going to be.
Right. Like, well, no, I assume that they're probably, I'd hope that they're done at this point, and if. You know, figured out the emulation on it, but
I mean, dude, I just don't buy that there could be like a 6 month delay or whatever to figure out.
Probably Doom not. I mean, the delay is for Doom Eternal, but
it's just it stings because like again, I was like more looking forward to that anyways. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, give us that at least.
It's kind of like the Metroid Prime trilogy thing where it's like clearly it's a marketing tool for the game, but in this case it doesn't make sense to delay with the game. Like, why not be like, oh, you know, like, we're sorry, here's Doom 64 to hold you over until then, instead of delaying it and then like making it a pre-order bonus to make it seem like it's a bonus for you. Like, this game you could have bought 5 months early.
I gladly would have bought that probably first and maybe waited on another one. Like, that's how excited, like, I've heard great things about this game. Like, I love old school Doom, so I was so excited for it, and yeah. You're delaying that as a pre-order bonus for fucking... You should have just gave that for, like, $20 in November. Something tied me over.
Sorry, Jeff. We'll now have to be without.
Very upset.
Jeff, speaking of old games.
Yep. Oh.
Because Doom 64 is old. Earl mentioned Donkey Kong Country.
Oh, segue.
But tell us about this new Donkey Kong Country-ish ukulele game.
Yeah, Ukulele and the Impossible Lair. It is 100% Donkey Kong Country in a way. But with so many like cool little twists on the formula. I fucking love this game. Like, I haven't, like, again, like, I haven't beaten it yet, but so far, I really, really fucking love this game. So, like, do you guys know anything about, like, you know, it's like a 2D, like, Donkey Kong Country type deal, right?
Right. That's the amount that I know about it. Well, actually, I previous to like I guess Tuesday, I didn't even know that it was Donkey Kong Country-ish. I thought it was going to be a 2D platformer.
Yeah, there was like not a lot of hype about this game. Like I remember, like I saw something and I saw it was like a 2D thing, and I thought it was like an expansion. Like, oh, they're releasing like 2D levels or something. Like. But yeah, it's basically a sequel to Ukulele, but instead of it being an N64 game, like, you know, Celebration, it's like basically like it plays exactly like Donkey Kong Country. Like in terms of like what your controls are. I'm trying to think of like there's something different. You could do I don't think in Donkey Kong Country you could do like butt stomps. But you could do that in this. But otherwise, it's still like the press Y to roll and then jump out of the roll type thing.
Right.
But like, it has like, I don't know, it has like cool ideas like outside of that shit. Like, first off, it like rips off Breath of the Wild. So like, at the very beginning of the game, you could do the final level. And the final level is the impossible lair. Like, that's, like, the name of the game, you know? Like,
you can just go right there?
Yeah, and I guess it's, like, I haven't tried it, really. I haven't tried it yet. But I guess it's, like, a really long, like, you know, I'm guessing, like, Dr. Wily-type fucking platforming level. It just goes on forever, dude. Like, there's no checkpoints. If you run out of like hits and you die, like that's it. But each level you beat in the game gives you another heart to like. So like, say you beat like the first three levels in the game, you could go into the final level and fight it with 3 hearts. Essentially, they call it like it's like a shield of bees surrounding you. So like, if you're saving bees in every level. So, like, if you beat every level in the game, you're going to go in there, like, stacked into that final level and beat the shit out of it, probably, because, like, you'll never run out of hits, right?
Right.
So, I don't know, I think it's, like, a really cool idea, because at any point in the game, you could be like, you know, I have 30 hits. I think I could probably get through like the last level of the game on 30 hits, you know? So there's that. There's also the overworld, like between levels. Like, so think of like any 2D platformer, like between levels, like there's like the overworld map where you're walking around. It's like this overhead view, right? And here it's like more like a Zelda game going on in this, like in between levels. Like there's like you're doing like all sorts of puzzles and shit to get around the map. That's like a really neat idea, and it's like actually like it's well done. It's like it's compelling. Like it feels like it could almost be its own like 2D game where you're like exploring a world. It like feels like the in between parts in a Zelda game where you're like trying to do shit on the overall map, like talking to people or going around. Like, oh, I could see like I see like there's like this bush I should be able to burn, and like I got to figure out like, you know, some item to get to burn it. Like, I don't know. Like the game, again, it's just Donkey Kong Country, but like, it's doing so many other cool things on top of it, with also that same like awesome like David Wise music or whatever. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, it's fucking very surprising game. Way better than their
original.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, because that game was disappointing.
Like, I can't begin to describe how much better this game is. Like, I'm loving this game. Like, for all reasons I explained, but yeah. The only reason I haven't recommended it to you, Chris, is because, like, I know you don't like Donkey Kong Country, so, like...
Yeah, when I heard, like, I was kind of excited, like, oh, shit, there's a new 2D platformer. I kind of like... I like the idea of Yooka-Laylee, but then hearing that it's Donkey Kong Country, I was like, seeing that it was $30.
But, like, for the reasons I explained, for the overworld and for, like, the central concept that you could beat it, like, whenever you want, I would recommend it to you, man. Like, I think it's worth the $30, even though, like, you're not into Donkey Kong Country. Like, but that's a tough part. Like, it would have been, like, immediately I would have texted you, like, dude, you gotta get this game. But I know you
right.
Don't. But, like, even still, like, even, like, on top of that, I think it, like, surpasses the fact that it is a clone of that game with, like, these cool ideas. Like, it gives you, like, a hook. Like, you're like, I don't know, man, I could just do more levels, or I could just go try the fucking impossible lair again, you know? Which I have not, again, I have not, like, gone in there yet because I'm, like, so into the... Honestly, I'm, like, into the overworld shit and just, like, yeah, like, kind of, like, dicking around with the game. Like, there's so many, like, nooks and crannies to it. It's, I don't know, it's pretty surprising.
Nice. Maybe I'll give it a shot for the end of the year. We'll see. Might wait on it, see if I get a sale.
I'm just curious for the sake of curiosity. When you say it's like Donkey Kong Country, do you mean Riz Donkey Kong Country or Retro's Donkey Kong Country?
Well, what would you... How would you distinguish between those two? Really, I mean...
One's good, and one's rare.
Whoa! Really?
That may be... So, I have not played Donkey Kong Country Returns or Tropical Freeze.
Really?
For the simple fact that, like...
Why are you so against... Like, dude, I get that like, you feel... It feels different, but like I like that. That makes it a different platformer. Like,
I don't like how it. No, and that's fine. I just don't like how it feels. Like, it feels clunky to me.
I dig it. Like, the rolling kind of rolling jumping vibe is fun, dude. Like, this like really relies on rolling a lot. Like, you're kind of like roll through the levels a lot to make the long jumps. You got like roll off the edge of something and then hit jump in midair to make the jump. You know. It does that a lot.
But hearing Earl say that the retro ones are actually good as opposed to the one like the ones that I think are bad, maybe I'll actually try it.
You're saying you prefer like the newer one, Earl?
Yeah, I think they're much better games. I think
I don't know. I think the first Donkey Kong Country is a really good game. Like, I love that one. And I know most people, like, would say two, but I don't know. I just love the first one. Anyways.
I think there is a... not a purity, but there's something about Retro's one that I think they had the technology that Rare didn't have back in the day to actually kind of complete that vision. I mean, one of the things is like the Rare ones really don't hold it well graphically anymore because it was state of the art at the time. It's not anymore. But I also do think that there's a lot more cohesiveness and consistency in the Retro one, especially Tropical Freeze, with the level design and how like everything is designed or in that stage to be part of that stage. I think better music. I think the enemies, the nomads, I will grant you that I don't think that the there's not a villain that matches King K. Rool, but I think that, and I also think that they rely on the gimmick. Like, yes, they have minecart levels and they have the rockets stages, but it's, you know, like a lot of like Donkey Kong countries, like half the stage we're gonna give you a random animal pal, and
yeah,
like, the only one that's
like the
in
rhino.
The rhino is the only one that's in. I think they're Retro ones. But yeah, Rare would give you the rhino, you get the bird, there was the frog.
Swordfish.
Yeah. So, and I think, again, I do think that the Retro ones are hard without being unfair. And I
think Tropical Freeze is insanely hard.
But I never think it's difficult in the way, like the minecart, for instance. I never think it's like, oh, I, it's like unfair, and like I just can't do this. It's usually more like, how fast is your reaction time?
It's also like they like stretch out like several hard things together, and like so if you lose at it, you're like back at the beginning of that, and it's like I'm gonna fuck up somewhere in this sequence of three things that are impossible. So like, you know what I mean? Like that's like,
all right, well,
speaking of that, tough.
How does ukulele like this? Is there like a checkpoint system? Like
there is checkpoint. Like I feel the game is very very fair. Like it's very forgiving. Like. I saw some reviews say it was as hard as Donkey Kong Country. Like, I don't think it is at all. Because, like, there's lots of checkpoints throughout the level. You basically have two hits with, like, because you're carrying the bat. So, like, if you get hit, you drop the bat, whatever, like, Laylee or whatever. And then if you get hit again, then you're dead. But, like, dying doesn't do anything. You don't lose anything. I think you do lose like some of these feathers you collect through the level, but like you're not like running out of lives. It's not like you run to zero lives and you have to restart the level or anything right. Like that. Like it's just always like I don't know. Like it doesn't feel that hard to me. I don't know. Like
I am curious, and this is a tangent again, which I should stop doing because it is getting late. But it reminded me, you said no lives, and I'll get to it a bit more in a second because I'm paying trauma to bad ass elephant. And I feel like lives are something that exists in video games still that nobody knows why. Because that has a life system, and it's just like, I don't get why. Like,
You could use it and be like, you run out of lives, you're dead. Like, you have to start over. Like, it could mean something, but otherwise...
But what game What game has done that recently?
I'm just saying, you could do that, but like...
But that's what I'm...
Other
like,
than
that's
that,
what it was,
what's the point?
That's what it was for originally. Like, now it just kind of exists because it's something we did, and we need to continue to do it. Like, again, really, I love the game, I love the series. It's my favorite video game franchise. But Mario still does it, and I'm like, at this point, why?
in ukulele, it's just like, I think it just deducts from these feathers you find all throughout the level that you could buy tonics with, and like those tonics give like all sorts of different things. Like some of it could be meaningless, like making the game black and white. You know what I mean? Like. Some of it could be meaningful. Like, it could help you, like, shit, like, coins don't disappear as fast. Like, if you don't, you know, like, you have more time, or the bat, the like, if you get hit, you could, like, the bat floats around longer, so you could pick them back up again, so you could, like, get your second hit back. I don't know, like, I don't know. Good game.
All right. Well, Earl, tell us about the badass elephant.
The badass elephant. It is...
It's great. Like,
it's good. I feel like it's... What's the best way to say this without sounding insulting to that
franchise? It's like the... I said,
it's like somebody throwing eyes like, we could actually still make really good Sonic games if we wanted to.
To me, it felt like riding the Rhino in Donkey Kong.
And yeah, but it also kind of feels like Sonic in the sense of like momentum and speed, but yeah, also know,
yeah,
also know when to kind of slow down and take a platform. And again, it also does stuff, you know, like a lot of platformers does, in that like will also hide a bunch of stuff in here to give you a reason to explore. I mean, in this case, it's usually like people you have to rescue. But again, so far, I have to really start with the plot. I think the plot is so silly and over the top, but it works because, like, you are the badass elephant, which they make literal. So you are an elephant that the army calls in for backup. like, you're they call you on a phone. And I only played a few stages, but at the start of the stage, you're usually at like a military base, and you have like soldiers saluting you as you start the level. So yes, this and it's like an actual military elephant because he has like a grenade pouch or something on him. You don't use it for anything, but he has it on him. So yes, so the basic tenets of this game, it's a platformer, which does not have a double jump, which is super rare. But you have a speed burst button, so you can pretty much, and there's no meter or gauge related to it, so you can just hold it down and run through a level. I mean, you can't because no level is completely horizontal. But you also have
fire everywhere, and you gotta spray it with
yes. Water. But and that has a meter, so he has to refill the water at certain spots. But it's really quick. You just go, you know, fill it up, bada bing, bada boom. There are different types of enemies. Most of them you can just kind of run through, but then you'll run into like tanks, and those shoot like missiles. You have to jump over them and then hit them. Then you know, boss battles where like their weak point is behind them or something, so you have to either get above them.
There's a flashing red light on their ass or something, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have, like, you know, you can combine those moves, so you can hit upwards, you can do a butt dive, you can, you know, speed dash and then jump to get extra momentum. You can actually hold down the jump button, and then the elephant will do, like, a Yoshi Fiora jump. Yeah, so in the game, you know, 2D platformer, so it looks nice as well. But yeah, so far I'm having fun with it. Like I said, it's really fun. It's kind of like Sonic or the Rhino from Donkey Kong Country. And it's really hard not to kind of at least embrace the inherent silliness and goofiness of the plot, being that you are a badass elephant the military calls for backup.
Yeah, this is another one I was going to recommend to Chris, but like, I'm like, I know he doesn't like Donkey Kong Country. You get him like that. It feels like the Rhino feels like Donkey Kong Country. Like,
and I could get that because there's a certain heft to it.
Yeah,
it's not like Mario. He's not mobile. Like, his jumps are very deliberate. Like, it's like,
and it's very much like you hold down high, charge. You know, like. It's kind of the same thing, like, but the game's fun and it's free, so at the very least, like, I'm sure
you can try it for free. I at least clicked on it to get it, so I could download it and give it a shot.
I think it's very good. Like, it's just, I just gave it up because I got some other shit going now, you know, but
right.
I would probably play through that whole game. I was having fun with it.
You guys play anything else?
I think that's it for me.
Like I said, I was killing time while you two were finishing up Movie Dudes. So I tried a game on the Switch. I was just downloading demos. I started Resident Evil 5, but I didn't get too far. I mean, it's still Resident Evil 5, but I wanted to see how that performs on the Switch. But I tried a game called, I want to say Demivore. I don't know if you remember that phase. It was a very short phase, but it was a fun phase where a bunch of people did Jagoku multiplayer games, which is kind of it's kind of like modern day Joust, where the idea is like you just kind of hit your opponent to eliminate them.
Okay, so like Tower Fall and
there was like a grappling one, but Tower Fall, so like, grappling. Oh, was that Tower Fall then?
I think so. I think I had grappling. Yeah,
there was another. Okay, because there was another one, I think, where you had like pogo sticks or something like that, and you had to jump on them from above to take them out. There's a few of them.
Yes.
But yeah, and this is kind of that. It has different characters who have different abilities. It's like there's a cat, and a cat like, has to charge up and pounce. And caught the person. I was another character that kind of shoots a gun, which is actually really kind of unfair for everybody else. It has like a distance move, and it has like those maps that kind of like the screen is just to back around on itself. It's like it's a demo. You can only play against the computer. Like I got the character that shoots the gun. As I saw the map, I shot like three bullets behind me, and that was the end of that, so that was kind of boring. But I'm sure with, you know, actual humans and advanced strategy, it would be fine. But yeah, I mean, it's okay, but I don't necessarily care. It has, like, that pixel art style, and I'm just, like, kind of over that. Like, if you don't do anything special with it, it just kind of bores me now.
Yeah, it's like everybody uses it at this point, so you need to do something special.
You need to do something special with it. And then I really should remember if I have it in my phone, because I did not get to actually play a ton at New York Comic Con this year. I did see that there's a new Predator game coming out, which is asymmetrical.
Yeah.
That looks interesting, but the time is like an hour, and I have little patience.
It seems very, Dead by Daylight-ish?
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, four Marines or somebody like that against the Predator.
Oh, I mean, I guess speaking of New York Comic Con, I should mention that I did actually attend the Marvel's game panel, which, I mean, the big news came out and that everybody saw that was that Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, is going to be the main playable character in that game.
Okay.
But the panel was focused on the Marvel Realm of Champions, which is the sequel to a Contest of Champions. It showed off Realm is more, I think Contest of Champions is a one-on-one fighting game or a fight versus fighting game. And Realm of Champions is an action RPG, and it's divided into different guilds. So there's like a Hulk guild, a Spider guild, an Iron Man guild, a Captain America guild, and like two others as well. So it was interesting to kind of see that and see the different types of characters and customizations you get in that, but they didn't show a ton of gameplay. Then they showed the Iron Man VR game, which still looks fine. It's fascinating that Marvel has spent the last 7 years building such a consistent and coherent universe to then have an Iron Man VR game and then the show of Marvel's Avengers who has two different actors in the role of Iron Man. I mean, even in some of the video games, like I know like Spider-Man PS4 voice actors, the one who does it in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, so they've been good at trying to keep that consistency. I found it weird and jarring because it's the same panel where it's like, oh, here's Joss Keaton for Iron Man VR and here's Nolan North for Marvel's Avengers.
It is weird. Then,
yeah, it's so strange. They joked about that on the panel, too. At one point, Troy Baker, who is Troy Baker? He's Hulk, right?
For Bruce the Avengers Banner. Game?
Yes. Yes, yes. So, yeah, he joked at one point, because, like, you know, they're good friends. They've worked together several times now. And at one point, he's like, you know, is Josh still here? We can get him out here to know him north and stuff like that. But no, you know, like, it was nice. They had good chemistry and stuff like that. It was fun banter. But I didn't think the panel needed to be 90 minutes to go for three games, especially being that, like, even though we had the announcement and then New Troy for Kamala Khan, like, they still haven't really been they haven't shown actual gameplay, really, of this Marvel Avengers game. Like, they've shown the prologue, but, like, how is it going to play once you get into the game? So, yeah. And then the other game I played was Zombie Army Dead War 4. And I will be honest, I've never heard of this franchise before, so I don't know how it is up to a fourth one.
They changed it. Originally, it was Nazi Zombie Army. And there was a trilogy of games that they just have, like, X-ray shots and stuff like that.
Yes, and
yeah, so it's part of the Sniper Elite.
Family.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. That kind of would make sense then, because it is a very not necessarily methodical, because it's still hordes of zombie, but it's a very much kind of slower paced shooter for zombies, like. It's not necessarily about, like, getting a Tommy gun and gunning them down.
Yes.
It's more like, okay, here's like a sniper and a shotgun. Make sure you aim properly and you take them out and you kind of complete objectives. Like, it seems like it's fun if it was like a Games with Gold or a Game Pass game. I wouldn't say no to it. I don't necessarily know if I would pick it up out of my own pocket. But
that's fair.
It seems fun. It seems funny. Like there was no big problems with it. I had my fun with it. But I'm like, yeah. That's good enough for government's work.
Yeah. I might actually look into that one. I won't pay a exorbitant amount for it, but if it was like a budget type game, I might give it a go. I enjoyed the other three, so. On my end, I have played a little bit of Call of Duty Mobile.
How is that?
That's a thing. Surprisingly, it's not bad. Like, it's weird. It's very weird.
Is it anything like, what is it called? Modern Combat?
So I've never played that.
Okay.
But there's two different styles of play here. It's first person. It's standard. And there's two different control styles. One is automatic, and the other is like where it's called advanced mode. In the automatic mode, if you put your crosshairs near somebody, the gun will just shoot automatically.
Does it kill them, or is it?
Yeah, like, no, just... it'll kill them. Like, it's just like if your crosshairs kind of come across an enemy, the gun will go off as long as they're still within the crosshairs, and they'll die. In advanced mode, you actually have to press. There's like a shoot button. Like a little touch button that there is, and you can do it that way. I actually think the auto works fine. You can zoom in. This is where I was being successful. I was playing with that auto mode, but I had unlocked a scope for my gun. So playing against other people that are like level 1 and 2, if they have not unlocked the scope or equipped that scope, They don't have as good accuracy with their gun. So I was able to get a lot of kills, and I think I ended up 29-3 in the one match that I played.
Oh, so it's PvP as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was gonna make a single player, like a campaign thing. I didn't realize it was an actual like.
No, so there doesn't seem to be any campaign. Multiplayer. Fascinating.
Yeah, because like when you said, that's what you said. Like when you said it, what it shoots when it goes over to cross. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound so bad. But like when it's actual other human face, that really sounds messed up.
Yes, but if everybody's playing that way.
Yeah, but it's kind of like it really does. Crap! What is it called? What is it? My friends used to say, "Spray and pray." So it really does kind of benefit the person who sees you first, and not necessarily the better player.
Yeah. I think as you
rank advance up,
and yeah, like you're going to get different weapons and. Be able to do different things. So I think there will be some like skill, like as you play more. But early on, it is very much just like, hey, I saw you first. And a lot of Call of Duty is that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's still a chance of like running away or this person's really right. Bad at aiming.
So from a distance, it seems like if you have a scope and you zoom in, using the scope, like you'll be more accurate. This goes for any first person shooter generally, because you have a better view of your target. But from a distance, like if I am just like shooting without being scoped in, it seems like there's a lot more misses. So you do want to scope and kind of cover your person with that, with the target, unless you're like right up on top of them. It seems fine. There is a battle royale mode, which I guess is, what was that called? Blackout mode. Blackout was whatever the mode for the last game was, the battle royale mode. That is in this, I guess. But I have not unlocked it. You have to get to level 7 first. So it's very similar to the progression in Call of Duty, where like game modes don't unlock until you reach certain levels.
Okay.
It's not. I was expecting like, oh, this is going to be total garbage. Like, who wants to play a first person shooter on their phone?
Well, I mean, like stuff like Modern Combat exists, and it that actually does have like full controls, and I think you do your own shooting. But I assume there's also a reason why you haven't played Modern Combat or hear people talk about it. Like, I just know of it because it was during that phase where I forget the name of the company, but Game they off? Were just Game Off. Yeah, they would just kind of make knockoffs of console games, and it was a thing because
yeah,
it's like I want to play Call of Duty, I want to play Frozen or something like that, and it's like I can't get it.
Dungeon Hunter was their Diablo one.
We'll make it for you. We won't say it's going to be good, but nobody else is trying, so we win.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Call of Duty on your phone.
On your phone. So, is this the first mobile card? I mean, not the first mobile, because there's handheld versions, but is it the first, like, yeah, smartphone Call of Duty?
I think so. Interesting. At least here in like in the West, they may have had something over in China and Korea and Japan, because mobile games are different and bigger there.
Now, is this free to play or how much does it cost?
It's free to play. We'll see how the I'm very early on. I wonder how progression goes. There's a Fortnite style battle pass, where you can and it's not like Call of Duty where it's like, oh, you unlock this gun and because you leveled up to level 7 or whatever, and then you can like you know, unlock stuff through that gun. It's similar, but it does look like, oh, if you reach like level 15 in the battle pass, you'll get a sniper rifle or something. So I feel that people that pay for the battle pass might be able to have better guns in some regard.
So it's pay to win.
It's like right now it's not, but I have a feeling that like as you play more, it will very much be, it will benefit you to buy in on their stuff. And at that point, I will stop playing. But yeah, it's a Call of Duty on your phone. It looks good, and it's like a greatest hits of their maps. So like I played on Nuketown. I played on it was like a Modern Warfare 4 map where it was like a downed helicopter in the middle. I think it was Modern Warfare 4. Not Modern Warfare 4. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. It was either that or Modern Warfare 2. I remember the map very clearly, and from what I understand, there are other maps from the history of Call of Duty in there. And the last thing I want to touch on is I jumped back into Destiny 2. I kind of wanted to see what was going on in there. So they've released their new expansion, Shadowkeep.
And that made everything before that free-to-play, right?
No. So okay. It made the first year free-to-play.
Forsaken.
Year 2 is you still need to pay for that. Although I do think it may be cheaper now. Anyway, I had bought Forsaken last year, but I'd only played a little bit of it before falling off. It's like, you know what? I want to go in, see what's going on new, because they've changed some systems and stuff. It's now free to play for, as you said, for like the first year content. That game is a mess now. It's a nightmare to navigate. I do not have Shadowkeep. So I was like, I want to go in and play the Forsaken stuff. I could not find it. It took me 2.5 hours of playing to finally figure out where the hell it was.
Oh, because... Wait, where is it? Because I think I had a similar issue when I did the Forsaken, because it's like its own little planet that you have to navigate to?
Yes, so you have to go to like somewhere in the reef. And then you have to find the icon for the Forsaken campaign.
Yes.
And then click on that. Which I had thought I had already done that first mission, the one where, spoilers for Destiny 2 Forsaken, where Cade dies. That's how that kicks off. Is he snarky Nathan Fillion robot guardian guy gets killed early on. I played that mission already, but I don't know how to continue the campaign, so I had to restart it. And hopefully from there I'll be able to figure out how to continue the campaign, because right now not like it is very confusing on where to find anything, on how to access that legacy content. The map is a little, it's a little messy. The new quest log is messy. The in menu for your character, the Triumph page, is there's so much going on. And then when you click on something, it says track this. So it's like, finish X mission in Forsaken campaign. So I click on that and it's tracked, except the information it gives you is just finish X mission in Forsaken campaign. Doesn't tell you how to go get it. Doesn't tell you where you should look for it. It just, hey, do that. You're tracking this now. That's cool, right? the game's a little bit of a mess for people that haven't been playing it consistently. And they also now have a Fortnite Battle Pass.
Wait, what?
They have a season pass.
Fortnite.
If you played Fortnite, the battle pass they have, which is pretty standard. It's a pretty standard battle pass. Like Dauntless has one. Gears kind of has one now. It's just this season long progression where you'd level up the pass.
Okay. I was confused. I thought you meant it had a Fortnite battle. Like, you can unlock stuff. That's okay.
It has a Fortnite now. Fortnite-like.
There we go.
Sorry. It's like I think this is 100 levels actually, and you can unlock stuff that way. I don't know. This is a game where like. And maybe they've changed it. I haven't played enough of it. I've gone back in. But this is a game where you would kill things. You'd go out in the world, kill things, pick up the engrams, and get new shit. But now you're getting new shit by leveling up this pass. I don't know. I'm confused. The whole thing is messy. Maybe I'll finish the Forsaken campaign. I don't know if I'll continue on to Shadowkeep. Which is a shame. I enjoy Destiny. And it's still a really pretty looking game, but it is not friendly for lapsed players. And I cannot imagine that anybody that is coming into this cold, has never played it before, is going to be able to figure out. So. Next week, is there anything coming out for you guys?
Is there anything coming out? There's a big Switch week next week, but I guess people are banning it now. Because I believe Overwatch and Witcher 3 are out next week.
I guess people play The Witcher, right?
Yeah.
Do you got anything else for next week?
I plan on playing some more Borderlands, me and Borderlands. Yep. I think I'm going to pull the trigger and get Untitled Goose Game.
Okay.
I think I just need a game to beat right now. It's just been, I was telling you before, we were planning this show, I actually hadn't played a ton this past week just because I've been between the Comic-Con and work stuff, having to work extra hours this week for events and stuff like that. I've not had a ton of time for games, so my hope is to kind of get into it. And I'm in between, everything right now, and I'm just not, I want to go back to Astral Chain, which I have not played a ton of since we started that. And I want to go back to that. But I'm also kind of, Luigi's Mansion's out in a few weeks. Pokemon Sword and Shield's out in a month. I guess Doom being delayed helps that a bit. It's just one of those things where, and I've not gotten to Awakening nor if I own the three houses. I still actually need to play the Gears of War 5 campaign. I do want to actually finish that. I'm just gonna have to find some friends this weekend, especially if anybody's off Monday, and just feel like we need to just pound through this in a day or so. Just so I've never not beaten a Gears campaign. But this
yeah,
does not
do
seem
it. It's fun.
This does not seem like one I want to play on my own, though. And I think mostly it's because of that segment in the middle with the open world stuff. Mm-hmm. Where, at least if it was linear, I'm okay, I can just kind of go from point A to point B. Where the little I've played of chapter two, act two and three, it's this is fun with a friend because they can drive, or you can drive, you can navigate. And then when those random swarms pop up, you have somebody to help you instead of there's a random sniper nest here that's going to take me out in one shot.
Right.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
I will have a game called Stella, which I believe releases next week. It's a 2D platformer, kind of like Inside or Limbo.
Nice.
So I played a little bit of it, but not allowed to talk much more than that. I am going to be reviewing a fishing game I will bring that next week too.
Which fishing game? Well, I guess we'll find out next week.
Yeah, it's called I think it's called Fisherman or something like that. So I think that's what it's called. So
does he turn into a superhero?
No, it's like an actual fishing game. Like,
look at this.
Like a
Town Hero is out next week too.
Like real bass fishing or something like that. A Little Town Hero as well.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if anybody's getting it, but Ring Fit Adventure's out next week as well. I'm actually really curious to see how that reviews.
Yeah, I'd like to know. See, as Nintendo is returning to their fitness stuff. Jeff, you got anything for next week?
We asked Jeff hours ago.
He's there. He's probably passed out.
I'm sorry. I had myself muted.
You did. You got anything for next week?
I will regale you with my stories of Yooka-Laylee 2 once more. And the Borderlands 3.
Oh, well, so you and Earl will have Borderlands.
Dude, it's I think it's an awesome game. I mean, it's not doing anything different, but it's still awesome.
You shoot things, they drop guns, you get new guns. That's a fun loop.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, we'll be back with Borderlands and
other fun games.
Other fun stuff next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.